Welcome back, everybody, to HRO Adventures, episode number 13. Rusty, we're at lucky 13. How are you today?
Yeah. It is lucky 13, isn't it? I mean, we have a guest on today, and so I'm feeling pretty lucky. The other lucky part is you got me in my own office today, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say you're not out on the 4x4 or whatever you were driving around last time. Oh, you were covered in stuff.
That's the bad thing about these Zoom calls. You know, when we're doing it face-to-face, I get to have an excuse to get a shower in the middle of the day and all that other stuff. No, today, I've already been on the sprayer for 2.5 hours, been out there trying to beat the heat today. So got up at daylight so you could get that stuff done. So, yeah, you know, back to the farm work. So
Yeah. The other job.
my day job. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the day job. Well, awesome. Well, we have a really cool guest that made time, took a time out of a bear hunt to come join us. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, sir.
So no, why don't you introduce him?
Well, what's up with that? Who goes bear hunting in June? I mean, Cole gets to go bear hunting in June.
I know. So, we're pretty blessed about that. We, my brother Carson and I have been hitting the hills hard, but can't say we've had any luck quite yet. But you know, any day up in the woods is better than a day in the office. So there's no complaints.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
As soon as that sun starts to move around, won't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'll bet so. Yeah, we won't keep you that long, Cole. That's for sure.
You're fine, no problem. They aren't coming out till dark. It's so hot over here right now that
what's we'd the temperature?
Just be sweating. It's about 90 today.
Okay, so yeah, so the work starts as soon as that bear gets taken down, doesn't it? Yeah. Get that hide off. And
yeah,
that is where you make your money right there. Well, really cool. And what are you? Is it brown bear, black bear? What are you looking for?
It's all black bear, but it's pretty cool over here in Montana. You get a lot of color phase bears.
Yeah,
and so that's what I was wondering. You know, it's really neat. I'd say like 50% of the bears over here are you know, some type of different color. And so we've seen some cool chocolate bears, a couple cool blonde bears this year. I just keep running into nothing but sows and cubs, just sows and cubs everywhere. And so I guess that's not really a bad thing, but I'd love to see a good mature boar come across.
He's around somewhere. He's probably been watching you.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I assume it's all with a rifle.
Yep. I've been hunting with rifle, and we would have an opportunity to go after him with our bows. Right now I've just been, I got a pretty cool new SIG BDX scope. So I've been like working on some of that long range shooting stuff, kind of getting a little bit addicted to it. And, so I'm like, you know what, for the bear season, I'm going to try and get one with my rifle. And if I don't get one, I'll have another opportunity to come this fall with my bow. But,
what round are you using for bear over there?
Yeah, I shoot a 7mm Weatherby Magnum. And so that's been a really good round for me. I've been able to use it both like hunting elk and deer. It's super flat, straight shooting round. And especially for bears, it's the same thing. It takes them down really easy. So
excellent. Well, Rusty, before we get going, we could talk about hunting all day. I know.
Why don't
you introduce our special guest?
You know exactly where I went, Dave. You saw me go right into that, you know, into the easy stuff. The exciting part about having Cole on today is, you know, Skip, one of my best friends, lives in Montesano, and he started telling me about Dead Nuts Targets, and I don't know anything about them, so he's telling me all about them and everything, and then he bought some of your canvas ones. And so we've got a couple of those, and we started talking, and as we were starting the podcast, I said, well, Skip, I said, go down to Dead Nuts and see if they'd be interested, and we'll talk to somebody on the podcast or get something going. And it took a while, but finally we got to Cole. And so that's how it all started. And that actually started back in, I want to say, when we first started talking about the podcast was back in January. And then I'm walking around the Salt Lake Mule Deer Foundation show, and here's Dead Nuts Targets. You guys had a booth there and everything. So I walked over and just kind of introduced myself and started looking at everything. And then I was hooked. I mean, I was hooked. It was fantastic. So it's been a long time coming, a couple months now. We've been, 5 months down the road. So I'm really excited. So just tell us about Dead Nuts. Tell us who you are and what you do for the company.
Yeah. So, well, I'm Cole Daniels, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. But, you know, Dead Nuts, it started and it wasn't really supposed to be a business. My dad is about COVID time, my brothers and I, you know, there's nothing to do but shoot your bows. And so we were shooting every single day, and we got tired of just shooting at dot targets, whether it was our block or our bag. And so we were going to order a 3D, you know, elk target. We loved archery elk hunt. We'll hunt 3 or 4 states this year. And so between like our whole group, and it was $1,800 and like 6 to 8 weeks for shipping. And so my folks owned a sign company back home. And so we went to the sign shop, and so we had all the machinery and like the materials to create the targets that we create now. And we printed one out, we grabbed a box blade, cut it out super rough. And then we drilled it to our block target. And my brothers and I just started shooting the heck out of it. And for my dad, it was him teaching us like, all right, what's the proper bone structure of the internal anatomy of the animals we're pursuing? Because, you know, I think so many people shoot a dot and they're, you know, 3-4 inches left or right, or, you know, up or down. Mm-hmm. And now you're in the guts, or you're in a pass-through zone, or you're in a front shoulder. And so it was really him teaching us, you know, that proper bone structure and internal anatomy of the animals we're pursuing. And then it got to, all right, now we're starting to make a mule deer, and then an antelope and a whitetail, because, you know, I think everything has just a little bit different internal anatomy. So understanding that shot placement before you go and hunt that game was really important to us.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how we got the start. And then from there, it was just, hey, we're going to develop this for us. And we made a couple videos and they went viral, and everyone's like, I want one. Where do I get one? Yada, yada. And we're like, maybe we should try this. And so, you know, it was really rough at first. The product has come a long ways, but, you know, I was on the phone with a guy 3 days ago who's had a target for 5 years. It was one of our very first customers, and he just ordered another one. And he goes, this thing's been awesome. I've left it up in Washington rain and snow for the last 5 years. And, you know, I'm just adding another one to my range so I can have a couple of them. He goes, but I'm going to keep shooting this one. And I was like, holy smokes, they're holding up that long. That is great to see. And here, so yeah, that was our start.
Awesome.
Now, what do you do for the business, or is it just you and your brother, or is it your dad still part
of
it?
So we got the kind of the whole family's a part of it, mostly my parents and I. So, in that business, we have our sign business as well. And so we just kind of made another branch to the business, and that's the dead nut side. And so I'm primarily now just working on the sales and marketing side. And so I do the majority of the content creation, a lot of the stuff when it comes to like social advertisement and, you know, all the social medias, and then working with our retailer outreach and growing us into the retailer space, which this is our first year getting into it, into retailers. We've been all direct to consumer in years past. So retailer space, trying to work with some conservation groups, as you know, we believe our targets are a perfect fit for what, like, mm-hmm. the missions they're trying to, you know,
yeah, efficacy get everyone and here. Ethical exactly. shots. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So working with, like, we're trying to get into some of the bigger conservation groups, got a really good in with Whitetails Foundation, right? Or Whitetails Unlimited. And so I think that could be the very first one that we start working with.
Wow.
And so just growing that organic growth part of the business, you know, in years past, it was me in the shop from 6 a.m. to midnight, putting targets together, putting boxes together, printing shipping labels, getting them out the door. And, but we have an amazing, amazing team inside the shop now who's great. Producing and manufacturing everything out of Montesano. So,
oh, awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So everything is built right there and made right there in Montesano.
Yes. Yeah. We get all the raw materials and put it together. So we do all the printing, have all the custom print and cut files, all the, you know, there's a lot of hands-on stuff. People just see it as a, you know, a plastic target. And there's a lot of things that go into it in regards to like putting on the Velcro and then like all the stabilizer strips and building the boxes and printing off all the, you know, box labels. And so it's a pretty manual process, but we've got it pretty much down to a science now where it's, you know, your Henry Ford, you know, assimilation process and getting product out the door. So, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So this business is helping the economy in Montesano now. I mean,
we've got,
sounds like it.
5 full timers. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's huge.
And so, you know, for just a small little community, I think we're doing our part. We got a couple of young guys in there that just, you know, love the outdoors and wanted to be a part of the outdoor industry. So it's cool to give them that opportunity. And then, you know, come hunting season, you know, target sales usually go down. So our employees get to go hunting instead of having to be in the shop because, you know, come September, October, everyone else is hunting. So the target sales aren't, you know, as big then. So right now is kind of like our main, you know, vamp part of the season where we were getting a lot of targets out the door between June and August. So,
Right.
Great. Well, yeah. That's fantastic. People are supposed to be preparing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very cool.
And then you took the sort of the sign style, and then you got paired up with the NFC chips and Quiver. Yep. How did that happen? Because that is like a neat element that adds to an already great idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing for us is like I stated earlier, is we're trying to really understand bone structure and internal anatomy. Mm-hmm. And we felt as if in 3D space, you know, you get your third size deer, your half size deer, and, you know, brisket to top of the back is always different depending on what target company you're using. And so there's never been like a true target, in our opinion, that taught outdoorsmen proper bone structure and internal vital anatomy. And then Quiver came out with their technology, and we saw it, and we're like, that's exactly what we've been trying to teach everyone with our targets. Yeah. And so it was just added an incredible element to our product that I think just blows everything else out of the water, because now we actually understand where the lungs sit, where the, you know, humerus sits, the front shoulder, and how it, you know, sits on each and every different animal. And it teaches, you know, myself, has I've become a much better hunter since shooting the targets with that technology on there. So we have our Vital X series is what we call it. And it's on a majority of our broadside targets now, but starting to come out on our quartering away and our frontal targets too. So you can see, you know, how the internal organs set up dependent on the angle of that animal. So
as I move to front quartering, I'll still have a pretty realistic idea of where the heart's hiding behind the sternum or the rib cage at that point.
Exactly. Okay, yep. Cool. And so, and especially on the quartering away shots, because what I've seen, especially if you watch YouTube and you just watch hunt shows on YouTube, you know, so many people will buy a 3D target that is broadside and they'll practice it all year long, drinking a beer with their brother or their friends. And, you know, and then it comes to hunting season and on YouTube, everyone's taking a quartering away shot.
Nothing,
or they're taking a frontal shot, and it's, they're constantly moving. Right. And so like trying to teach people shot angles from different like animal positionings is really important to us, so they understand where, you know, entrance and exit of the arrow should be, then be able to scan the chip and see that organs with the Vital X series targets through the Quiver's technology is important. Yeah. So,
well, not just quartering, but also if you're a tree stand or the new saddles that are out now, that you've just added an angle. And if you didn't practice it that way, you know, people at home in the tree stand in their backyard, making sure they got the angle right. So one of the things that I found using it was the education or the training was instant feedback. And I mean, right away, you can break years of the wrong pattern or habit pattern and in a very positive way resolve that. So I was sharing a story with you that I know my anatomy on animals pretty good, been doing it for a long time, not any type of expert or anything, know exactly where the shot should go. And then when I would use the Vital X to take a look at it, it's like, wait a minute, I'm off. Just I'm like nicking the bottom of the heart, but that's not what I was trying to do. Now, it was perfect if he jumped the string or did anything, but you know what? I would have bet my paycheck. I know what I'm talking about, and I was off slightly. And so, number one, you know, you can't. It's like shooting steel or anything else, right? You can't really fake it. I mean, everybody saw where you hit.
Yeah.
But instantly able to make the change. It wasn't a huge habit pattern to break, and I can picture the overlay now much better. And the other part of the training was the way you've got it set up that I've noticed with 3D and other types. You know, your body or your eye still wants to cheat, right? Your brain still wants to. Well, there's a line of where the target inserts, and I know it's an inch over from that. Yeah. And I found with your very realistic photography, the dang shadow is right where it would be for real. And I need to move. I can't shoot from here. Yeah. Or wait a minute, why does it look like that? And it gave the very real scenarios that I'd have in the field, right? Where like, I don't have the line with the crease that I need. The sun's blocking it or whatever. And I found myself doing my best to try to cheat and find the old hole and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And your target solves that. I mean, you got to know your stuff. And then when you mess up, it'll show you right away. So just something you can't do on the big block stuff, right? I think everything has its place, but I thought shooting block style in the off season and really aim small, miss small, and then you go add a dead nuts target to this as you're getting kind of real close to the season. Boy, that would make you a very ethical shot and a really good shot, I thought. So it was a super, super cool product to review. And like I said, I had to be pulled in at the end of the night when it was just almost getting too dark because it was like, this is too much fun.
Yeah.
But every shot was learning something super valuable that Rusty and I were talking about would take years to, you know, years of, say, gutting animals to go, man, I was low, or wonder what that was all about, right? So just a really cool idea. So really,
thank you.
Really appreciate you guys making something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And for us, it was like you were saying, like with, especially with the 3D targets, you'll have like colored dots for a scoring system, or you'll see the insert, right? For when you're 20 yards back, you don't see any damage on our targets. It really makes you focus, like for myself, look at that bone structure, look at that muscle grouping, and then pick out an exact hair of, all right, that's where I need to be hitting because the exit of my arrow is going to hit there. And so, you know, that was really important to us, is make it as lifelike scenarios for everyone in their backyard, so they were prepared for hunting season. And then make it affordable to where the majority of outdoorsmen can afford our targets, where a 3D target just is kind of breaking the budget for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's, so, you know, the $600 price range, and maybe the HOA doesn't want a fake bear standing in your backyard. So money-wise, I thought you could make your, you can spend money on other stuff you might need to, or maybe other types of targets. But, and it was portable, right? So I can pack it up, head to Rusty's, and before we go out, open it up, number one, get some practice in, but number two, make sure the outfitter and I are on the same page as what we're aiming at, right? One of the things I've talked with Rusty about is, you know, he doesn't get to see the shot if he's looking through glass, right? So a lit knock helps. That's why we were working with those. But, you know, I'm sure there's outfitters out there that are like, what are you aiming at? Like, that's not what I thought you would shoot at. So I thought, you know, as a training aid, this thing is super valuable, that not only could a couple guys that just came into town get dialed in, but also too, them and the outfitter that are going out in the morning could kind of confirm. So this is what we're aiming at, right, guys? Yeah. Like, let's not have a shot and go, wait a minute, what are you guys doing? And it sounds like that comes up more and more than we thought. So as a training aid and as a not so much practice, but training, right? Shooting at the block target, I would consider it's repetitive and it's practice, and that's got a point or a place. But I took my, I took the target and stuck it in the bushes, so behind some rhododendrons and a couple other things, like a deer would be if he was eating. Yeah. And just like you said, I needed to go pick out the specific hair I was aiming at.
Yeah.
And I found myself having to move around because the deer's not complying, right? That's exactly what happens out there. And the way the shadows hit your realistic pictures, or I should say your realistic pictures, it was like, dang it, that's exactly what the fur does. It was black a minute ago, and now it's gray.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what an awesome training tool and practice tool, and it's mobile, and it's inexpensive, and you guys thought of everything, right? The way it's braced is perfect. Having an extra set of vitals, what a cool idea, because you didn't have to do that. So, just can't say enough about it, and I think it makes somebody's game go up within five shots. It's just what a neat deal. So, again, just... Yeah. So it's super cool. So you've got the quiver technology, you've got all the different animals. I saw turkeys, which is kind of my thing. What is next then for Dead Nuts? Like, where do you go from here? What other technology is out there you're looking at?
Well, I think with the quiver technology, we want to continue to work with those guys because they're one, they're phenomenal people, they've just been a joy to work with. And we got a lot of big plans. So we plan to create a scoring system based on Oregon, and that's kind of the big, you know, hammer drop of what we want to do is, you know, you guys could be apart from each other. I could be in Montana, and then we could all log in and shoot the same mule deer target. And I hit one in the guts, two in the lungs. You all hit three in the heart. You got 30, I got 10. And, you know, we could compete against each other and keep each other accountable with, hey, we're shooting every Tuesdays and Thursdays by logging our shots, kind of creating like a handicap, like if you're golfing, but for archers. And so that's kind of our big goal, to work with them on creating a scoring system based on Oregon. On top of that, you know, we're creating some more targets. So we're getting ready to release our hog target. We've had a lot of people in Texas, you know, want a hog. So that one comes out this month. And then the next two will be a caribou and a moose, and then potentially an axis deer. So on the target development side, there's there's that. And then we got some really cool technology we're working on that we haven't released just yet, but we're trying to get into the waterfowl space because the target side is awesome, especially like the big game species, but it's really seasonal for us. So to create this into a 12-month long business, we got to have some sales in the winter time. And so getting into the waterfowl space, and then, I mean, that would just be more on the decoy side for big game animals and waterfowl. So that's kind of the future vision and plans with the business.
That's pretty cool. I'll tell you, the way you guys are going with all of that and having that technology, as long as I've been guiding guys and taking guys out, one of the things that, you know, in our particular area, on our particular ranches that we hunt on, archery season comes during a really hot time of the year. Mm-hmm. So the hunting is really broken up into the morning and the evening, kind of what you're dealing with now in June with the bears. We're in September, early September, and we're dealing with that. So we end up putting up targets. And so we have targets up the day before the day they get there and they start shooting, you know, they'll practice and make sure everything's still good with their bow. And they're just shooting dots. Absolutely. Yeah. But one of the things we talk about when we're out spotting, stalking, that kind of deal is, you know, where to shoot. And that comes up and talks all the time. As I saw the targets for the first time in February at the show, that was one of the things that I got to talking to with the guys there in the booth was this gives me an opportunity to have something that we're shooting in the middle of the day between the hunts that we can actually start putting the two together. We can actually talk about this and talk about these angles and talk about what we're going on. That, you know, I know what I'm talking about sitting on my side of the pickup, but they have no clue what I'm talking about unless they've shot a lot of deer.
Yeah.
That's just not something that happens when you get one tag a year and you only hunt your state. You know, how many years is it going to take before you're going to shoot 20 deer?
Yeah.
You know, for me, you know, I'm taking 15, 16, 18 guys a year and shooting a lot of deer and seeing a lot of different things. And so I'm gaining all this experience, but it's hard to transform that.
Yeah.
And your target gives us an opportunity now to show them and talk about it and actually get them to understand what we're talking about.
And that's like one of the big things too is, you know, especially with outfitters, you get a lot of guys that are like out of staters, for example, or they're new to hunting and they need a guide, you know, to take them out. But they have no experience in the bone structure or the anatomy of that animal. Maybe they're hunting whitetails, and we'll just use the state of Pennsylvania as an example. And then they're coming to the West and hunting elk. Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, anatomy structure is different. It's not the same. We can't shoot through shoulders like we can, you know, over there. And so trying to give, you know, outdoorsmen an opportunity to understand that, and so we see less game get wasted and more successful harvest, you know, more outfitter success is really, you know, what we're trying to do. And so we've worked with a couple other outfitters as well that, you know, literally make their clients come in and shoot our targets before they will take them out. So they understand the anatomy. And then they see, I mean, cause you guys as outfitters, you see the same deer year over year and you're like, oh, that buck blew up from year four to year five. And you hate to see that buck get shot foul and then you not go and recover that deer. Right. And so that's kind of what we're trying to push on a lot of people. And by doing so, we've created like an outfitter program, similar to a retailer program where we're giving outfitters, you know, a good price break to order targets for their clients. So,
well, that's pretty cool because that was the number one reason why we got the target to begin with. And then when Dave was telling me that he just had his bow getting tuned and a new string and everything, I'm thinking, oh, perfect. I need to get the target to Dave and so that he can shoot it and be it. And so we can get it on the, you know, on the YouTube channel. So, what a wonderful thing. I've already heard, I mean, it's only been a week since we put it out there, and I've already heard from some of our archery guys that, oh my word, I need to get one of these. I need to get on, you know, which one should we be doing? Those kind of things. And I said, well, just wait a week. We're going to talk to Cole and he's going to tell us what's going on. So, that's pretty cool. We're pretty excited about it. And cool. So I think it's a great, the technology is great. The Quiver has and partnering with you guys has just been great for us. That's great for us.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we're happy to hear that because that's our goal.
it's great. The speed at which you get educated, I think, is I haven't seen that in a lot of other products. So, it's pretty cool. I was going to ask you, Rusty, when you get a few guys in camp and the deer are hanging in a skinning shed and you're going through them, are you seeing any common mistakes or common placement mistakes that this could probably solve? Are you seeing guys thought it went in one spot and it actually is a little bit different?
Well, yeah, of course, you know, I'm seeing the results.
That's what I mean.
The far end. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean. As you know, the skin comes off and you can actually see where they went. Are people going, huh?
You know, Cole's working on the practice end and I'm dealing with the other end. So, but we do see that a lot. And that's what I was talking about, you know. Me and the other guides, we've talked about this 100 times, you know, how do you get somebody to understand, you know, when you start talking about
this is the thing, right?
What language are we doing, you know?
Yeah.
And we've played with the 3D targets, you know, we've had them setting up out there where, you know, we're trying to get them to look at the quartering away, the quartering to the, you know, I actually had one deer actually one time walk over and he came in above us. Which, you know, I live in a pretty flat spot. And so, but we knew that we were down low trying to work on him and he just happened to keep moving and he just came in above us. So, you know, we're 30 yards away, but he's probably, you know, 15 feet elevation above us.
Yeah. How many people practice the overhead shot, right? Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's all of a sudden, and he's facing right at us, you know, so you're going to shoot him in the chest, you know, what do you have to shoot with, you know? Yeah. And so it's those kind of things. And then, you know, Cole, a couple of podcasts ago, my wife was on and she's the camp cook and, you know, all the guys come and they love my wife. And she comes out to the skinning shed when they've shot something and she's out there talking to them and, you know, she knows them all. It's like family. And she was teasing with Dave on the podcast about, you know, she goes, yeah, when the conversation turns to look at the angle, this bullet came in and went out over here and did this. And look how this arrow stuck in here. She goes, that's when I go back to the house. And so, because we talk about that, that's what hunters talk about, you know, especially when it's hanging right in front of you and there's five of you standing there, you know, you can only tell the story so many times, but then you just add in the, oh, look, I thought he was angling this way and look where I shot him, you know?
Exactly.
So, but I've dealt with, you know, we deal with the fouls. The clean shots are always the ones that's the shortest conversation. You know, look at that. I double lunged him. Didn't even hit a rib, you know? Yeah. Like you could see the both ribs or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, those conversations are short and everybody does. You have a dead deer. That's great. It's the, you know, the guy that shot 66 yards as the deer was going quartering away from us. And it went in behind the rib cage, through the lungs and out, you know, one side, and you're like, okay, well, it's the perfect shot, but how did you make that, right, kind of thing. And so and so we deal with that a lot, but some of those things, the more deer the person's killed, the more deer the people they've had their hands on or saw hanging in the shed, makes all the difference in the world when we're explaining to them where they should shoot when we're out there, you know. And spot and stock's always tough too, because you're so close. You got to be quiet. There's not a lot of conversation. Yeah. There's a whole lot of whispering.
Yeah,
and it's like I tell a lot of these guys when I meet their wives for the first time, I whispered in his ear too, you know. So because, you know, I'm standing just behind him, you know, talking to him, telling him where to shoot. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. So.
Yeah.
Nope. Just can't say enough good stuff about it. It opens the opportunity so much for Rusty to have a great group of guys come in, you know, clientele come in and be ready to go, all on the same page, a little practice, and it's a lot of fun too. So
Now, if you guys, guys talk about this, you know, I think you're the first thing that went on my mind is, you know, my son, you know, he's still in mid-20s as a kid. And still plays video games with his buddies across the country on, you know, Xbox. And that's the first thing went through my mind when you were talking about, well, yeah, you could just log in and be shooting at the targets. And I'm going, okay, well, yeah, I can tell how old I am. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, that would be, it'd be fun, because especially when I'm away from my buddies from all the time, it's like, we're just talking trash on a group chat. Oh, I'm a better shot. I'm a better shot. Look what I shot. Look what I shot. Now we can actually prove it, you know, which means I'm gonna be shooting way more because I don't want to lose. Now we can actually compete against each other and, you know, actually have some real proof in the pudding on the trash talk come the group chat.
Yeah, that would be just fun.
Have you been to any Total Archery Challenge events or anything?
Yeah, I haven't been this year, but I do like those TAC events. And a goal of mine is to have a course. Like, one of my big goals is to have a course tailored to our targets. Because especially, you know, as great as TACs are, they're really hard to put on. You know, they're taking tons and tons of 3D targets, and they're heavy and bulky and tough to store. And you got to throw them up on the mountain and rearrange them. Where that was like one of the big things for us is when we go hunt three states, we go hunt elk in three states. It's easy to throw our block in the target and throw, you know, all three of my elk targets, my frontal, my quartering away, and my broadside elk targets, and set them up. So now they just take up a sliver of my trailer or bed of my truck. And then we go down the road. You know, for TAC, I could see our targets being, you know, really beneficial for them.
Especially if you could get the scoring, like to go to a central scorer, right? Like the running events and the biking events. Yeah, just get to the end and your score's already there. I mean, I can see a lot of neat.
You know, there's no more, I'm in the hole, no, you're not. You know, it's registered through the technology.
That's right.
Your score's totaled. So, yeah, we got some plans for that. Now it's just kind of, you know, executing it. I don't think it would be this year, but to try and get some talks this summer, see how we could work with them. And then hopefully, you know, maybe even if it's just a couple of the courses, you know, they're going all across the country to, you know, kind of beta test it. That would just be a great opportunity for us. So, that's on the agenda. Hopefully we can pull her off.
Keep us in the loop. That's super interesting. And, you know, archery, it's hard to come up with new exciting things, right? It's like everything's been done. So
yeah,
super cool.
Right. Well, I like the idea that you're still hunting, Cole. In June, you know, that's pretty cool, because I'm not hunting at all. I'm spraying weeds and putting up trail cameras. That's my hunting right now.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of nice. Cool. Like, we'll go bear hunt a lot of the country that we elk hunt or deer hunt in. Mm-hmm. So throwing cameras in our packs, hiking in there, sitting nothing. All right, it's hot. We're gonna go hang cams for real quick and then get out of there, and then have them up and be able to check them on our phones. But I mean, every opportunity. And if I'm not, you know, bear hunting when it gets over, we'll probably just be drinking beer, shooting gophers. So
there you go.
that's the next season for a couple of months until
there's a couple of gophers over there. Yeah.
Oh, so they're everywhere.
What will be your first season this fall? Will you do some archery hunting first?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So we'll have a fall bear hunt in Washington State, and then we'll go into our archery antelope season, which I've been starting to shoot a lot. Already getting ready for that. So then
is that Montana?
Yeah, that'll be in Montana. And then I'll hunt three states for archery elk. And then after that, it kind of is rifle season for me. So I'll have an Idaho rifle deer tag. I'll hunt rifle season in Montana. And then my next archery season, as I usually do an archery deer hunt in the state of Arizona in the wintertime. So that gives me something to do. So, but yeah, we'll hunt a lot. Let's see, probably five states this year. So five states, a bunch of different species.
So now the one that caught me right off the end there was Arizona. So are you mule deer or coos deer?
I think those big high desert mule deer are just so cool. it's a challenge. I've been hunting them for 2 years. I haven't gotten one. I ran into a deer this year who would have been mid 180s. Just a really big high desert mule deer buck. But, you know, it's a lot different, because over here in Montana, you see deer all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's just constant stalks when you're putting it on them. And in Arizona, you're in the highest peak you can get, and you sit in glass all day long until you find one. And then you got to figure out how the heck to get to them without, stepping on cactus and making a bunch of noise. And so it is very challenging. But it's kicked my butt, so I'm really determined to get over there and get one.
That'll separate the men from the boys, fitness-wise.
It's something, and it's usually hot, and you're sitting in the sun and sitting in glass, and I'm kind of a, you know, I love hunting elk because they talk back and they're screaming and you're just running and break, like you're doing a call set on elk, you know, you're breaking branches and, you know, yelling at them through your tube. And it's just super interactive. When you're sitting in glass all day long, I'm just like, oh my gosh, can something please come, you know? So it's really, I think made me a lot better hunter, a lot more rounded, you know, hunt mule deer. And some guys are just great at mule deer hunting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I am. And so I'm trying to get better, so I have a little more street cred in the deer hunting. But the elk hunting, that's my passion, is archery elk hunting. So,
well, yeah, well, you live around there's some good elk hunting up by.
Yeah, there's some pretty good coastal Roosevelt hunting. So last year I shot two bulls. So I shot one in Western Washington, one in Montana, and they were both with my bow. So the bull I shot. And hunting over there in Washington State is tough. You know, you can have an opportunity to run into some good elk, but I didn't see an elk for 5 days. And then the bull I shot was literally the first elk I saw all season long. And I'd come over the third or fourth day of the season. I left Montana because I hunted here opening weekend. So I went over there, was hunting with my dad, and this bull just came just growling and screaming. He was at 8 yards frontal, looking behind me for my dad because my dad was calling for me. And he was just all perked up. Just, you could see his breath. It was pouring rain, you know, pouring rain. And it's just coming down. I'm at full draw. And I just remember saying in my head, I'm like, find the color change, find the color change. And I just released. And that arrow, it sounded like I shot a 22 into a pond. Mm-hmm. Just went whoop. And I was like, holy smokes, and that bull takes a couple steps back and then went to like 5 steps and just died in a trophy pose. It was great, awesome. Job. Just like, so, and then, and like, I was like in my head, I'm like, find the color change. And I had shot like my range in the season. I'll change my targets depending on what season is coming in. So my range, I have my frontal elk at 20 yards, my broadside elk at 40, and my quartering away elk at 60. And so, you know, I must've shot 1,000 times at frontal shot and practiced it. And then I go up 10 yards, go back. And yeah, 20 is kind of my max for that shot. I think that there's so much that can change with them jumping the string that's for me, 20 yards is as far as I'll shoot frontal, but I practice it all year long. And then I got that opportunity and I was like, oh, I was literally saying it in my head, what I've been practicing in the summer.
Wow.
And then I went over to Montana and while I was in Oregon, I was just guiding, helping my dad and my uncle had tags over there. Then I came to Montana and it was different. You know, it was post rut, middle of October, season was almost over. So I was hunting these bulls. They were already bachelored up, not talking, and it's more spot and stock. And I was kind of in some prairie or land. And so I spotted this bachelor group of bulls going up a timbered coulee, did about a 2.5 mile stalk, got in, they fed right in front, like right out in front of me. And this bull was about 60 yards quartering away. And I let one fly and he was able to get him too. And so, you know, both the angled target shots that I'd practiced all year long really came into, you know, help me come the season. So,
wow. Yeah. And that can be for anybody, right? You don't have to be in the business or an outfitter, but you'll get these targets and you'll be able to pull this off just like you did. So,
Yeah. And so then it's like, all right, well, after that, I knew I had a mule deer tag coming up. So I put my elk targets away, threw my mule deer up, and then, oh, antelope season's here. I throw my antelope up. And so I can just fold them and set them away and then shoot the targets for the game that I'll be hunting, you know, come that next season. So, and it's all, I mean, for me, it was like, I remember before we had the business, it was like, gosh, having a bunch of 3Ds is pretty expensive and mom would be upset because they're always in the yard. And so when we've been able to like plug and play the different species, it's made it a lot more fun.
Yeah. And even having a realistic elk in the backyard, I mean, I can't take that somewhere else. Right. Yeah. So to be able to get to the campsite or, you know, hunting camp or get to Rusty's lodges and practice, right. Isn't, you know, for $600-$700, I can't do anything other than right where I put it. So,
yeah,
it's just neat that these are portable and all that data you can get from them. So, very cool.
Well, I thought they were more durable than I thought they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that's the big thing is a lot of people are like, well, it's just plastic. Like, how durable are they? And like I said, that guy's been shooting his for 5 years and still shooting it. And the material they're made out of, they're just weatherproof. So the rain will beat up, the snow blows off, they don't really fade in the sun unless you're having a tornado windstorm. Mm-hmm. You know, they hold up really well in the wind, and we made a hinged hanging tab just for that reason. Mm-hmm. So that when there is a breeze and the wind hits the target, you'll see movement through your peep. which I think offers so much more realism because deer and elk are moving their ears and their head and their neck. So seeing that target kind of flicker in the wind at full draw, you're just like, oh, smokes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was instantly through the peep. It was like, this is very real. Like this just got very real. I remember I started my breathing cycle and, you know, going through your shot movements as opposed to just outback shooting targets. It was like, wait a minute, this just got me right into that thought process, which is just cool. So
I'm super excited for that reason to see how that's going to play out, because we've tried the 3D thing, trying to get people to not look at the horns, you know, not look at the head, you know, look where they're shooting. But I think this 2D target is going to be the trick. After we've seen it and shot at it and done it now, I think that this is going to be the thing, because I've got guys, you know, I've got one guy, we tease him a lot, and he probably is listening to the podcast, so I'm probably going to get in trouble, but he also holds the record. He missed 32 times in one season with his bow. So, you know, and part of the problem was buck fever. You know,
it's one thing to sit there
in the yard and shoot targets, and then it's another thing to be out there and your heart rate's racing and you can see him, you know, and in the couple of the times he shouldn't have shot, it was way too far, but the couple of the times that he missed, I mean, we were hearing the deer, we could hear his footsteps, we could hear him, we could hear him chewing and hear him eating. So those things just excite you more, you know, and so you need to be able to see that realistic thing through the peep.
It puts you into realism really quick, and you can go back and look at that the review that I did. Again, I'm not, you know, expert, but been doing it a while. You can see my bow moving quite a bit, and that's really like my pulse going through. Like everything went down to the soda straw, and all of a sudden I forgot I was in my backyard. And I think that's a super valuable, you know, that gives you that stress inoculation or whatever you want to call it, where you can calm down, go to your procedures, like you said, picking up the hair you wanted to hit, you know, go back to the things that work. There were so many valuable things from it. It was just such a great honor to be able to shoot that thing and to try it out. So again, just can't say enough good things about it. I don't know how many hundreds of people I've already told about it. You've got to go do this. Now we need to just figure out one for fishing so I can get better at that.
Me too. I've been doing this fly fishing over here, and it's a lot different because I didn't grow up fly fishing growing up in Western Washington. And I just am like, what's a dry fly? You know, I'm like, so, but that's been pretty fun too. So if you got anything to help me with that,
I do a lot of fly fishing and then spey casting also, which we might have to go out and get you to try that. That's where everything works in front of you, because you could have brambles or blackberries or something behind you, so there's no back cast. So everything's out front, and got a couple of scars where the beaded nymph hit me and I thought somebody shot me from across.
Yeah,
it's amazing how much power you can make in that much space, you know, you got to wear sunglasses. That was my lesson, was do always have something on your face, because I took a couple down here and it'll cut you open. And like I said, I thought somebody was shooting at me from across the bank. Like, how could that hurt so bad? Like, how could that hurt? But a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad your mom and dad's sign business worked into that, because I mean, we all know how campaign signs, somebody will forget a campaign sign. That paint never comes off. It never fades. It sits out there all winter long and still in the spring. And you're telling people, okay, make sure you turn at that campaign sign down there, because it's still sitting there. So I don't know why I didn't think that was as durable as it was, but I know in Salt Lake, my eyes were just opened to this. Is something so super simple that we see all the time. So
as soon as I opened the box, I was like, this thing will last forever. Like, I get you. So what a great idea.
And like the one thing, like Rusty, like you were talking about earlier, that, you know, to the guy who had missed a few times, you know, for me, like when I'm in my range and I'm shooting, it helped me a ton this elk season, because like I literally would walk through all of my steps and I'm like, all right, you know, the first step is draw back. Yeah, I mean, I get my ranges and then I'm like, draw back. And then the bull that I shot frontal, when I was at full draw, I wasn't looking through my peep. And I was just like, oh, because it's just screaming, bugling in my face, and I'm just heart rate. And I'm like, look through your peep, Cole, you know, you get your peep and you find your pin. And so then the bull I shot in Montana, you know, it was just, everything was there. I was like, all right, get your range, draw back, look through your peep, settle on the pin, and then just surprise you. And, you know, it was just money, perfect. And so that's helped me a ton, being able to like go through my checklist while looking at our targets, you know, has helped me a bunch. Just, you went in the field, be more prepared and, and find a little more success.
Yeah. The block targets never got my heart rate up or got me like, you know, in panic mode. But yeah, I think it was the first time I drew back, and like I said, I had it set back in some bushes, so I got to get around a stick and stuff. And it was all of a sudden, it was very real. And it was like, yeah, that block target doesn't do that. You know, it's not shooting back, so to speak. So, very cool. Well, Cole, thank you so much for coming on. What a great product. Well, like I said, I just can't say enough about it. Would love to keep promoting it and just keep us in the loop on what's coming up. So,
definitely. I'll have to get you. Thank you, guys.
I'd love to. I'll have to keep in touch, Cole, because I want to get you. I'd love to have you come over when my archery guys are here.
When your guys are in,
number one, you would sell them a whole bunch of targets. But I would just love for you to explain to them and show them and be able to do that. So because they would feel more comfortable listening to you. Not that they don't believe everything in the outfitter says, but they don't. They just don't believe everything we say.
Yeah.
We may stretch a story or two now and then.
Well, so, I want to get you guys, we're planning something big right now with some guys in the industry. We're doing like a big field day shoot with our technology, with the quiver technology, our targets. And there's going to be some pretty big names at this shoot in July. Awesome. I can't really speak on it yet because I'm not the one putting it on, but we were invited and we're going to be using our targets too. It's like this big educational, like, you know, big, I guess, like online shoot thing that we're trying to start. And so I will keep you guys in the loop with that. One of your podcasts, you might be able to plug it and send it to your clients. And that we're going to go into depths on exactly what you're talking about, Rusty.
We'd love to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and when that happens, Cole, give us a call and we'll get you on, even if it's not for the whole podcast. We'll at least get you on telling us what happened. And if you got some video, you can send us, and we'll put it on so people can see it on the YouTube channel. But we'll talk through it on the podcast as well. Just keep us in touch. When you start bringing new things out, just let us know. Like I said, we're super impressed with what you guys are doing and how you guys are putting it together. And we'll just continue talking about it. It's just a good thing for us. Works right into our business. I got to tell you a quick story. You tell elk stories because you've hunted elk way more than I have. I don't even know if all my years catch up with your few years, but I got to, my dad drew a unit 10 tag down in Arizona.
I shed hunt unit 10. There's huge bulls unit 10. Yeah.
And so I invited myself on the hunt, of course.
Yeah.
And so I went down and took dad and was with him the whole time. And we hired an outfitter there and that works in that area, and he has shot one of the largest mule deer ever killed, and so in Arizona in the Strip. Of course, he lives in Arizona, so he has a kind of an inn there, and so he shot this huge mule deer, at least a lot of big mule deer. Well, we would get in at camp, and those slow times when we're not seeing any elk, I would just start talking about mule deer hunting because that's what I do. And he is a mule deer freak too. And so we would talk mule deer hunting all the time, and dad would have to remind us that we were elk hunting. And so during this hunt, in the course of the hunt, the outfitter learned that I could read a map and I also could find, you know, GPS coordinates. So he would send me, and we started double teaming, putting eyes on two spots and moving around.
Oh, cool.
And he would send me things, and I would take off and go this way, and he would go that way. And we were looking at a lot more elk that way. And so anyway, I found this glassing spot, and I told him, I says, you know, it's not on any of your maps. I just happened to find it as I was going by. I'm fairly certain we're okay to be here and everything. And he just kept telling me, he goes, I sent him my location, and he goes, I don't think we can be there because we're on a private ranch. You know, yeah. There's all those ranches in Unit 10 that you gotta, you gotta get the trespass fee. And he goes, I don't think we can be there. And I says, well, I just ran into another guy and he said that it was okay for us to be there. And that's why I drove up there. And I said, but we need to be here tonight. That big bull's going to, I have a feeling he's around here, but you know, unless you got something better. And he goes, I ain't got nothing. So we're going to be there. So anyway, I made it too long, but he showed up. And so as we're sitting on this knob, he's got, I can't see it all. And he can't see it all. So we're sitting about 100 yards apart, but we're looking different directions. And finally we'd been there all night. The big bull didn't come in. I got up and I moved around and because I heard him putting things away because we're only 100 yards apart. So I could hear him and I could hear him putting up his tripod and everything with his spot scope. So I got mine all put up and we kind of met there. And as we're walking out, I says, well, I can only see a few elk but I never saw a big bull at all. And I said, that big bull, you know, I just figured he was coming up your guys' side. And he goes, no. And he says, I was really distracted the whole time. He said, cause there was a 210 mule deer right down below us. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, he's probably going to go 210. I don't think he'll make 215, but he's over two. And I went, and you let me sit on the other side of this hill? You didn't tell me? I said, I don't know if you know about Washington, but we don't have 210 mule deer in Washington. Okay. So I want to see one. You got to tell me on these things. And he goes, that's why I didn't tell you because I needed you over there looking for elk. He says, we're elk hunting. I didn't need you over here looking at this deer. And
Oh, I've ran into some giants in that unit, shed hunting, like for elk antlers. And there's big deer in that unit. You know, there's also some really, that whole state, there's some pockets all the way up to the strip where you're liable to run into a 200 inch buck anywhere up there. Even on the east side over there towards unit 23 and 27, there's some really big bucks going over northeastern part of the state towards New Mexico. Really good deer hunting over there. Coos deer hunting too. I need to get up there and just make it a priority to hunt that, but I've been kind of on a kick of trying to hunt the mule deer in the high desert because I've never succeeded with that. And I don't know why, it's way more fun to see deer, but I do want to get it off my list, just getting one in the desert.
It's a cool way to hunt, that's for sure.
It is.
Rusty, we're coming up on the point where we need to go over Rusty's calendar. What you got on your calendar coming up?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that too, because these days when we do podcasts and I'm sitting in my office is bad days because I got to go right back to work as soon as we're done with this. Moving chicks outside. So that's a great thing for the pheasant guys we've got chicks that are going to be ready in September, for hunting on the shooting preserve. So, we've got another set of chicks that have come in. So we're looking good for the whole season right now, as far as number of birds. So that's a good sign, for us, but that's what I'm doing in the heat of the day right now. The other thing I'm doing is the trail cams, putting out the trail cams, and trying to get the food plots. And my food plot that it's only taken me 10 years I still haven't got it perfected, but at least I got stuff to grow. That's a good thing for a farmer. Right. I can grow stuff. So doing all that. I met with some of the landowners, here in the last couple weeks. Talking about what they're doing, how they want us to hunt their ground, or how they're going to allow that to happen
On your lease stuff. Okay.
On my leases. Yeah. On the leases, you know, like we've talked about before, Cole's probably hasn't heard it, but, all my leases on private ground, because I live here and my family has a ranch here, you know, they're almost all neighbors. They are all neighbors. Mm-hmm. And so all my leases are really very unique to each neighbor. They're not a lot of the same. Each neighbor always has something different and something that they want to do. And so I try to keep up on that. And I try to look at it from the landowner point of view, since I am one. So, and so that's a big thing. And so I try to stay in touch with all of those guys when I see them. So just trying to do that, just trying to work through the summer, trying to get things going. And then, you know, school kids are out. So I've got some kids up doing some, just doing odds and end jobs for the summer. Trying to keep the high school kids, you know, employed, I guess you should say. And so that's all going to start here too, pretty quick. So
all right.
The calendar's kind of slow right now. Me and Preacher Dave are probably going to go fishing.
There you go.
Be another good thing. So he's still trying to convert me into a fisherman. I'm like Cole. I've never heard of a dry fly. So, you know, but we'll see. An old dog can be taught every once in a while.
Yeah. So. Well, your archery mule deer guys need to be practicing with these targets. So, Cole, where can people find you and, you know, kind of correspond with you and order targets?
Yep. So you can go to our website at deadnutsoutdoors.com, or we're starting to get into some local retailers. So go ahead and check our page. We should be updating our website really soon with a retail locator. But in the meantime, on our website or any of our partnered retailers. And then to follow us, we're on all social media, so you can kind of see what we're doing, what states we're hunting, how we're preparing for the season. We just started a new challenge, which we're really excited about, called 2D Tuesdays. So every Tuesday, the goal is to get out one of your 2D Dead Nuts Outdoors archery targets and shoot 10 shots. And then hopefully we're trying to grow this into like a national thing where everyone's shooting a 2D target all over the place and, you know, really preparing, getting ready for the season. So that started today. We just released it. So I got to go out and get my reps in tonight. That's where you can find us.
Well, guys.
All right, Dave. I'm expecting to see you on
Tuesday, Dave. Tag. I'll tell you what. Occasionally, we're drawing winners that tag us for Dead Nut swag, so we get hats and shirts
go.
Out.
There you go. Well, from Snoqualmie and Tim's Corner and Montana. Yeah. Appreciate everybody listening. Cole, thanks again for coming on board and making time to chat with us. I know you're in the middle of a bear hunt, so
I appreciate it.
Good luck. All right.
Well, thank you, Cole. You guys. It was great to see you.